Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Moralistic therapeutic deism is the religion that I finally decided that most teens actually believe after we talked to a couple hundred of them around the country, and that is the following beliefs. There's a God, and God created the world. God wants people to be nice, good, fair to each other. All religions are essentially similar to each other in teaching that we should be nice and good and fair to each other, and that good people go to heaven.
That's Dr. Christian Smith at the University of Notre Dame from an interview that we did with him some time back on moralistic therapeutic deism. That's how he classifies the quote-unquote spirituality of many young people today. He's done all the study. We're going to talk about that spirituality live this Monday, November the 1st, here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Jonathan Fisk will join us of St. John Lutheran Church in Springfield, Pennsylvania, host of a video podcast, excellent thing, really making its way around the internet, called Worldview Everlasting. And then, a little bit later, as we usually do, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be our guest. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Abraham and Isaac. What a way to treat your son. Take him out to a mountain and sacrifice him to God. What is Genesis 22 really all about? In the second hour of the program, you know, it's also All Saints Day, and since it is, we're going to celebrate along with the church by studying a hymn, Thine the Amen, Thine the Praise, a contemporary and Lutheran hymn. Pastor Will Whedon will join us for the entire second hour of the program of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. We'll be studying Thine the Amen, Thine the Praise in the second hour here on Issues Etc. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at IssuesETC, or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Joining us to talk about spirituality, or what he calls spiritualistiosity. It's all too much to say. Pastor Jonathan Fisk, he's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Springfield, Pennsylvania, host of a video podcast called Worldview Everlasting, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Spirituality. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hi there, Todd. Thank you. You got it right the second time, the last time there. So, yeah, good.
Fourth time. Yeah, it's always as much as you practice, it never comes out right. You say that when someone says, and we hear this all the time, Jonathan, I'm spiritual but not religious, you say they're lying. Why?
Yeah, well, and some of that's just hyperbole to start the article, I think, but because it's a false distinction. The word spiritual and the word religious are really synonyms. They have the same meaning, but it has become popular to try to make them sound different in order to somehow demean one, religion, and lift up the other, spirituality. And I think we'll talk about this. In our context now, people do mean different things when they use those words, but historically there's not a difference. Religions are spiritualities, and a person who is spiritual is a person who is religious. More so, they really are lying in that everybody's religious. If we take religious to mean one who does something religiously, to do it regularly, to have a ritual or an order they follow, most people eat three meals a day with some religion. They don't not do it. They brush their teeth, hopefully, twice a day, religiously. And so in that sense, the question is not... are you religious, which is what they're trying to make it, but what are you religious about? And the person who says, I'm spiritual but not religious, really means to say, I'm not religious about my spirituality, or I don't take my spirituality so seriously that I practice it. That's not what they want you to hear, but in many ways, that's what they're actually saying.
You talk about this spiritual but not religious as intensely individualistic, intensely subjective. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, and I think that's the real key to understanding what they mean to say, what they're trying to say. When they say, I'm spiritual, they mean that my religion is up to me. And when they say, you're religious, they mean your spirituality is not up to you. It's up to other people who tell you what it is, say, a church or even a synagogue, right? But as a result, then, spirituality has become a catchword for being able to be in control of your spiritual life, to be entirely about you. And so you can even treat religions kind of the way you would treat a smorgasbord or a buffet, where you go and you kind of pick your various pieces from the pluralistic society that we have, and you put together, Jonathan's religion or Todd's religion. And there are people who do this. I mean, you can find blogs where people kind of talk about their own religion that they name after themselves, and they piece these things together. But it is entirely individualistic. There is, even in a secular sense, no communion between them and any other spiritual person. Although, ironically, many of these individualistic spiritualities end up looking at an awful lot like the New Age and an awful lot like paganism. That's a little speculation on my part to see that. But it is a turning away from group or public unified confession and towards a very privatized internal religion, which they call spirituality.
We even hear Christians, perhaps well-meaning, saying things like, I'm spiritual but not religious, or Christianity isn't religion, it's a relationship, those kinds of things. How do you evaluate that?
I evaluate it as people not knowing what they're talking about, because it means they don't know what their church really does teach. Even by the terms of letting the distinction of spirituality and religion stand, Christianity is an intensely religious religion. There are 10 commandments which one doesn't just have to keep, right? I mean, we don't want to get into law gospel too much here, but they are right and wrong. And it's not really up to you to decide if murder is okay or not. Jesus said, take and eat this bread. Do this and until I come back and you proclaim my death. And even for the Protestant who doesn't believe his words about this being his body, this is an intentionally public communal action that's to be taken regularly and together. So the one that says Christianity is not a religion, it's just a relationship, they have to just start hacking limbs off the body of our doctrine, of our teaching, not even in terms of Lutheran teaching, but in terms of the church's practice. And so part of this is also, I think, just people really wanting to find meaning. So it's not like they're trying to destroy things. And where the church's doctrine has been lost or catechesis has failed, people are going to look for meaning somewhere else. And so if they hear something that sounds good, like, I'm not religious, I just love the Lord, well, no, that sounds like it's against bad things and it's for good things. So, well, I'll go for that. But if you dive deeper into that, it really can be detrimental to the substance of our faith in the very real, religiously risen from the dead, never to die again, Jesus Christ.
Is there a subtle but unmistakable elitism in a statement like, I'm spiritual but not religious?
Yeah, there is. Although, I don't know that people necessarily think of it that way when they say it, but they do kind of look down their nose at the one who is religious, that a public ritualized faith is somehow not as good or not as true or not as authentic as a private spiritualized faith. And this maybe is tied up in our need for emotion again, that emotion is sort of our judge of authenticity in our age. And so if something is public, not everyone may be having the same emotion, right? So yesterday we sang, I got to sing A Mighty Fortress twice, both times the older version of it. And my guess is that everyone in that room didn't have the exact same emotional experience singing that song as everybody else did. And so as a result, the idea is somehow that it's not as real, it's not as authentic as if I have on my own the fullest, most emotional experience that I can have. And so there is then an elitism for those who've just decided to be rid of the external ritual because it's not as real to them. and just seek after the pure emotion, the pure spirituality. The thing is, it ends up still being as much about ritual for them, and it will end up failing as often as succeeding, even in their own life, and hence you get into this kind of chasing every wind of doctrine that Paul talks about, because the roller coaster will never stop. It's a little bit of a different topic.
Why is it two things, Jonathan, that for some reason culturally we disdain ritual while expecting it every place else but in the church? World Series game, there was before the game. I mean, talk about ritual. A baseball game is all ritual, including the game itself. Why do we love it, embrace it, and demand it when it comes to something as trivial as baseball? When it comes to the life of the church, somehow ritual is considered to be a bad thing.
It is bizarre, Todd. I mean, I almost don't know that I could answer that one without sitting and thinking about it for a week first as to the why. But you're spot on that everywhere in our culture, even, ritual and religiosity is mandated, it's required, and it's lifted up, and it grows every single year, no matter where you are. I mean, the World Series or the Super Bowl events, I mean, now it's at the point where even like your basic average baseball game is going to have fanfare that's expected to be there, say even the seventh inning stretch, right? It's so required for joy in the human experience, and yet for some reason within American Christian churches we are in utter rebellion against it, with exception in a few places. But I can't say any answer to you other than, well, sin, Todd. It's sin. It's trying to destroy the good gifts of God, which do come to us religiously, in the public service, the Gottesdienst, divine service that he instituted of giving his word and giving his sacraments.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is our guest. We're talking about spirituality. You'll find a link to his video podcast, Worldview Everlasting, under the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Old Theology, New Technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Don't believe Bible. Don't believe in Jesus. Don't believe in Beatles. Just believe in me.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about spirituality without religion. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is our guest on this Monday afternoon, November the 1st. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Springfield, Pennsylvania, host of a video podcast called Worldview Everlasting, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Spear Religiosity. Now, can this spiritual without religion actually be lived? The test of a decent worldview, Jonathan, as you know well, is you can actually live it in a practical sense. Can this worldview, spiritual but not religious, be consistently lived?
I don't think so, personally. Again, like I said before, what it usually ends up looking like is a very kind of lazy paganism. So that there's something of a chasing of new ideas here and there, but nothing's ever clung to very hard because it kind of, there's a pattern of failure in it. And so it becomes, more than anything, it becomes an excuse for staving off religious conversion, less than an actual practiced religion. Because the moment that they would begin to put it into practice, they'd want to find and establish real ritual. And as long as it's just me doing this, it really is kind of meaningless. And so I'm not going to do it very long. I think the closest people come to this, maybe, and this again is a guess a little bit, but would be, you know, someone who kind of finds their religion, say, in mountain climbing or something like that, so that on a regular basis they go off and commune with nature through their activity. But even there, they end up participating in something that does have very clear rules, boundaries, and ritual to it. And so they have to, in some way, in some form, establish and institutionalize their practice. They have to use the right gear, and you know, and they'll end up meeting friends who do the same thing. And so, there's no such thing as a spirituality without religion. That's kind of the point. There has to be religion at some point. The question is, if you want to be a Christian, where do you find the Christian religion? And you do need the church at that point.
Can the spirituality without religion degenerate into self-worship?
Yes. Although religion can do that too, to be fair. I think that's kind of where it sprouts from, is that we all are inherently our self-worshippers. It's what we would prefer. And so if I go and try to make my own religion, I am almost hidebound to end up worshiping me. I mean, honestly, I'm a pastor in the Lutheran Church, and I end up worshiping me most of my week long, I think, based on my own lack of inherent spirituality in Christ. But then because of the religion of Christ, the Word and Sacraments externally coming to me and calling me, reforming me, forgiving me, thankfully, there is true worship that goes on as well. And this only happens, though, externally, externos, as Christ puts his goodness, imputes his righteousness upon us, giving us the gift of faith through the promises.
How do you respond to someone? I was listening to an interview just yesterday, I think, one of the most popular growing religions among scientists and, strangely enough, journalists is some form of neo-paganism. Usually among the females, it's Wicca. And I heard one of these, a very respected journalist, by the way, say, look, we write our own texts. We don't sit around waiting for people who've gone before us to tell us what to believe. We decide what to believe here and now. We don't depend on a bunch of old forgeries. I think it was a veiled reference to the Christian scriptures.
That's kind of funny. From my study of Wicca, I've kind of been under the impression that as far as paganism goes, it's more or less a forgery. I mean, there's certainly more authentic forms of paganism around. How do you respond to someone, you know, in a one-on-one situation with that? Because there's so many levels that hit on, from the question of the validity of the Christian scriptures and so on. I'm at a loss a little bit here, Todd.
I guess what's behind that kind of thinking is I do my own thinking for myself. I don't let anyone else, not books, and certainly not people of history, tell me what to believe.
Well,
how do you respond
again,
to that?
I'd take you back to that opening question. I mean, that's a lie. No, you don't. Nobody thinks exclusively for themselves. I know that Simon and Garfunkel saying, I am a rock, I am an island, but they aren't, and they weren't. all people are connected to other people and are influenced by them. You turn on the TV and you watch an hour of House, whether you know it or not, you're going to walk away influenced by the worldview of that show. The only way not to is to be counteracting it with your own worldview the entire time, and most people don't watch TV that proactively. You read the newspaper, you look at something on the internet, you are influenced by the words that come into your life. So the way I would, if I could, over a beer, talk with this person about that in a non-aggressive way would be to try to help them see you are not so uninfluenced as you think you are. The people that are around you are having an influence on you and affecting you with their words. The question is, how trustworthy are those words, and why? And this does get into the apologetic question of the value of the Christian scriptures, and are they trustworthy words? I know you guys have done shows on this, showing how Christianity as a religion has the most secularly holy texts you could possibly want. You can't find better texts than the ones that we have in terms of their reliability. But the idea that you could stand on your own and not be influenced, but somehow influence the world around you. I mean, this is Eve and Adam taking that apple. You will be gods. You're right. You're still humans. And you are at your most bound in a worldview when you believe you're creating your own worldview. You're a complete puppet at that point. You're a puppet of the American culture. It's exactly what the consumerist culture wants you to think, is that you're free as you go and shop for stuff to define your identity based on what everybody else is wearing. It's a joke, really.
So make the case that religion is not a bad word.
Oh, it's such a good word. It's like dogma. That's one of my favorites, too, that it's, it's a culturally bad word. Religion. It is the public, repeated giving of spirituality, the place to find the Holy Spirit from a Christian point of view, the place where the Spirit comes. And so for us, that means when we say religion as Christians, we mean word and sacrament. The scriptures preached who is Jesus, what he did for you, and then his forgiveness given in real actions that are God's actions. I know it looks like it's a man baptizing that baby, but it's not. It's God. I know it looks like bread and wine, but it's more than bread and wine. It's Jesus. This is religion. It is repeated. It is public. It's shared. And the cool thing about it is it also doesn't miss, right? I talked about how we have a different experience personally in singing A Mighty Fortress, and that's true. But when we went up there and we ate the Lord's body and blood in, with, and under the bread and wine, we all got the same religion. It's a beautiful, beautiful gospel truth. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Spirituality, if it is divorced from that, will become about me. Spirituality found in this word and sacrament is the Holy Spirit who is creating faith in Christ. It's a really wonderful thing.
Is there some of that spiritual but not religious out there that is flying under the banner, at least the external banner of Christianity, people who may, in fact, sadly, think themselves Christians, but are in fact simply cobbling together culturally and spiritually their own beliefs and calling it Christian? About a minute.
Yes. And again, I think this is our human nature that we'll always try to do this. And so anywhere where catechesis fails, and by that I mean anywhere where the pure doctrine that is in Scripture and which we confess as Lutherans, wherever that fails to be clearly proclaimed, both from the pulpit, but then also confessed in the mouths of the people, it's going to stop being believed because it needs to be proclaimed to be believed. How will they believe if they don't hear it? And if it stops being believed, they're going to look to fill that gap with something. And man's natural religion will be this self-centered spirituality instead. And it will create new forms to try to prop that up. And this can happen very, very clearly and publicly the way I think it does happen. You can point to examples, say Joel Osteen. I mean, it's kind of obvious there, I think. But it can happen in your traditionalist little country church as well, where our religion becomes maybe how we keep the carpet this color, or whatever they want to fight about. And whenever you lose the catechesis, whenever you lose the doctrine at the center, we're bound to make up our own religion, and it's never going to be true. It's going to be paganism.
It sounds like you're saying, Jonathan, that the real failure of distinctions here is between man's action, man's word, man's deeds, man's rights, and God's word, action, deeds, and rights. Your final thoughts with about 30 seconds.
Yeah, that really is it. And it is the spirit of our age to want to believe that religions are about man's deeds, and especially Christianity, because of its failings, maybe institutionally, that somehow the church is man's invention. But the church is not man's invention. It is Christ's body, which he creates via this word that's not man's word, even though it's on man's lips, right? Luther didn't preach Luther's doctrine. Luther preached the word of God. I can say that because those words were given to him by God. He found them in Scripture. He found them in the church fathers, and he became one with that everlasting church that preaches one worldview. Ha, 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 here's the plug. One worldview everlasting, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ for sinners. Not much more to say than that.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Springfield, Pennsylvania, host of a video podcast called Worldview Everlasting. We'll post a link at our website, issuesetc.org, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Spear Religiosity. Jonathan, thank you.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure.
We'll be right back with Pam Nielsen.
I want to talk about me. I want to talk about me. We talk about your dreams and we talk about your schemes, your high school team and your moisturizer cream.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. Issuesetc.org. Stay connected. Issuesetc.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Life was good for this Chinese couple. They had a 9-year-old daughter and their son would be born next month. Then the family planning thugs came calling. They demanded the pregnant mother abort her child to comply with China's brutal population control program. Couples are allowed to only have one child. When the mother refused, they dragged her away against her will, where officials administered a lethal injection killing the unborn child. This unspeakable abuse is carried out tens of thousands of times each day. A brief video documents the family's tragedy. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org for this and a special video presentation we've produced on forced abortion in China. Help me expose these horrors against women and their babies.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.